Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words. Love is felt most.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
You
love, I had my share of love abuse.
Abuse.
Manipulated.
And its strength.
Misused.
And I can't help.
And I can't help. But to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored me because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try. But it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny. Because the favor of God is on my life. Let me.
Hello, out there in podcast land. Welcome, audience. Welcome, and we thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, and it's the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we'll have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you so much for that introduction, Nurse Carmen. Thank you to the co-producer for setting this up and allowing us this opportunity to come before you today. As I've already explained, you cannot demonstrate love until you can demonstrate not loving. A thing cannot exist without its opposite, except in the world of the absolute. Yet the realm of the absolute was not sufficient for either you or God. God exists there in the always, and it is from where you too have come. In the absolute, there is no experience, only knowing. Knowing is a divine state, yet the grandest joy is in being. Being is achieved only after experience. The evolution is this: knowing, experiencing, and being. This is the Holy Trinity, the triune that is God. God the Father is knowing, the parent of all understanding, the begetter of all experience, for you cannot experience that which you do not know. God the Son is experiencing, the embodiment, the acting out of all that the Father knows of itself, for you cannot be that which you have not experienced. God the Holy Spirit is being, the disembodiment of all that the Son has experienced of itself, the simple, the exig isness, possibly only through the memory of knowing and experiencing. The simple being is bliss. It is God's state. After knowing and experiencing itself, it is that of which God yearned in the beginning. Of course, you are well past the point where you must have explained to you that the Father's Son description of God has nothing to do with gender. I use here this specific speech of your most recent scriptures. Much earlier, holy writings placed the metaphor in a mother-daughter context. Neither is correct. Your mind can best hold the relationship as parent-offspring, or that which gives rise to, and that which is risen. Adding the third part of the Trinity produces this relationship. That which gives rise to, that which is risen, that which is. The triune reality is God's signature. It is the divine pattern. The three in one is everywhere found in the realm of the sublime. You cannot escape it in matters dealing with time and space, God and consciousness, or any of the subtle relationships. On the other hand, you will not find the triune truth in any of life's gross relationships. The triune truth is recognized in life's subtle relationships by everyone dealing with such relationships. Some of your religious have described the triune truth as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Some of your psychiatrists use the terms superconscious, conscious, and subconscious. Some of your spiritualists says mind, body, and spirit. Some of your scientists see energy, matter, and ether. Some of your philosophers say a thing is not true for until it is true in thought, word, and deed, which discussion times you speak of three times only. When discussing time, you speak of three times only, past, present, and future. Similarity, there are three moments in your perception, before, now, and after. In terms of relationships where considered the point in the universe or various points in your own room, you recognize here, there, and the space in between. In matters of gross relationship, you recognize no in between. That is because gross relationships are always dyad, whereas relationships of the higher realm are invariable triads. Hence, there is left, right, up, down, big, small, fat, slow, hot, cold, and the greatest dyad ever created, male, female. There are no in-betweens in these dyads. A thing is either one thing or the other, or some greater or lesser version in relationship to one of these polarities. Within the realm of gross relationship, nothing conceptualized can exist without a conceptualization of its opposite. Most of your day-to-day experiences is foundationed in this reality. When the realm of sublime relationships, nothing which exists has an opposite. Let me say that again. Within the realm of sublime relationships, nothing which exists has an opposite. All is one, and everything progresses one to the other in a never-ending cycle. Time is such a sublime realm in which what you call past, present, and future exists inter-reality. That is, they are not opposite, but rather part of the same whole. Progression of the same idea, cycles of the same energy, aspects of the same immutable truth. If you conclude that past, present, and future exist at once and at the same time, you are right. Yet now is not the moment to discuss that. We'll get into this in much greater details when we explore the whole concept of time, which we'll do later, and we've done on numerous occasions, but we'll get back to that. The world is the way it is because it could not be any other way and still exist in the gross realm of physicality. I'm going to say this again, and I'm only saying this again because of the conversation in which we had part of in yesterday's podcast, The Attic. The world is the way it is because it could not be any other way and still exist in the gross realm of physicality. Earthquakes and hurricanes, floods and tornadoes, and events that you call natural disasters are but movements of the elements from one polarity to the other. The whole birth-death cycle is part of this movement. These are the rhythms of life, and everything in gross reality is subject to them, because life itself is a rhythm. It is a wave, a vibration, a pulsation at the very heart of all that is. Illnesses and diseases are opposite of health and wellness and are made manifest in your reality at your behest. You cannot be ill without at some level causing yourself to be. And you can be well again in a moment by simply deciding to be. Deep personal disappointments are responses which are chosen, and worldwide calamities are the result of worldwide consciousness. Your question infers that God chooses these events, that it is God's will and desire that they occur. Yet God do not will these things into being. He merely observes you doing so, and God does nothing to stop them, because to do so would be to thwart your will. That in turn would deprive you of the God experience, which is the experience you and I have chosen together. Do not condemn, therefore, all that you could call bad in the world. Rather, ask yourself, what about this have you judged bad, and what, if anything, you wish to do to change it? Inquire within rather than without. Asking what part of yourself do you wish to experience now in the face of this calamity? What aspect of being do you choose to call forth? For all of life exists as a tool of your own creation, and all of its events merely present themselves as opportunities for you to decide and be who you are. This is true for every soul. And so you see, there are no victims in the universe, only creators. The masters who have walked this planet all knew this. This is why no matter which master you might name, none imagined themselves to be victimized, though many were truly crucified. Each soul is a master. Though some do not remember their origin or their heritage, yet each creates the situation and circumstances for its own highest purpose and its own quickest remembrance in each moment called now. Judge not, then, the karmic path walked by another. Envy not success, nor pity failure, for you know not what is success or failure in the soul's reckoning. Call not a thing calamity, nor a joyous event, until you decide or witness how it is used. For is a death a calamity if it saves the lives of thousands? And is a life a joyous event if it has caused nothing but grief? Yet even this you should not judge, but keep always your own counsel and allow others theirs. This does not mean ignore a call for help, nor the urging of your own soul to work towards the change of some circumstances or conditions. It does mean avoiding labels and judgments while you do whatever you do, for each circumstance is a gift, and in each experience is hitting a treasure. There once was a soul who knew itself to be the light. This was a new soul, and so anxious for experience, I am the light, it said. I am the light. Yet all the knowing of it and all the saying of it could not substitute for the experience of it. And in the realm from which the soul emerged, there was nothing but the light. Every soul was grand, every soul was magnificent, and every soul shone with the brilliance of God's awesome light. And so the little soul in question was a candle in the sun, in the midst of the grandest light of which it was part. It could not see itself nor experience itself for who and what it really is. Now it came to pass that this soul yearned and yearned to know itself. And so great was its yearning that one day said, "Do you know, little one, you what you must do to satisfy the yearning of yours?" "Oh, what, God? What? I'll do anything," the little soul said. "You must separate yourself from the rest of us," God answered, "and then you must call upon yourself in the darkness." "What is the darkness, O Holy One?" the little soul asked. "That which you are not," God replied, and the soul understood. And so this soul did remove itself from all, going even unto another realm. And in this realm, the soul had the power to call into its experience all sorts of darkness, and this it did. Yet in the midst of the darkness did it cry out, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Even as have you in your blackest times. Yet God has never forsaken you, but stands by you always, ready to remind you of who you really are, ready, always ready to call you home. Therefore, be a light unto the darkness, and curse it not. And forget not who you are in the moment of your encirclement by what which you are not. But do you praise to the creation, even as you seek to change it. And know that what you do in the time of your greatest trials can be your greatest triumph. For the experience you create is a statement of who you are and who you want to be. Now, I have told you this story, the parable of the little soul and the sun, so that you might better understand why the world is the way it is and how it can change in the instant, the moment everyone remembers the divine truth of their highest reality. Now, there are those who say that life is a school, and that these things which you observe and experience in your life are for your learning. Now, I have addressed this before, and I'll tell you again. You came into this life with nothing to learn. You have only to demonstrate what you already know. In the demonstration of it, will you function it out and create yourself anew through your experience? Thus do you justify life and give its purpose. Thus you render it holy. Now, not all the things which you call bad which happen to you are of your own choosing, not in the conscious sense, which they are all of your own creation. You are always in the process of creating. Every moment, every minute, every day, how you can create we'll go into it later. For now, just take my word for it. You are a big creation machine, and you are turning out a new manifestation literally as fast as you can think. Every occurrence happening, conditions, circumstances, all are created out of consciousness. Individual consciousness is powerful enough. You can imagine what kind of creative energy is unleashed whenever two or more are gathered in God's name. And mass consciousness, why, that is so powerful, It can create events and circumstances of worldwide import and planetary consequences. It would not be accurate to say not in the way you mean, but is that you are choosing these consequences. You are not choosing them any more than God is choosing them. Like God, you are observing them. You're and deciding who you are with regards to them. Yet there are no victims in the world, no villains, and neither are you a victim or the choice of others. At some level, you have all created that which you say you detest. And having created it, you have chosen it. This is an advanced level of thinking, and it is one which all masters reach sooner or later. For it is only when they can accept responsibility for all of it that they can achieve the power to change part of it. So long as you entertain the notion that there is something or someone else out there doing it to you, you disempower yourself to do anything about it. Only when you say, "I did this," can you find the power to change it. It is much easier to change what you are doing than to change what another is doing. The first step in changing anything is to know and accept that you have chosen it to be what it is. If you can't accept this on a personal level, agree to it through your understanding that we are all one. Seek then to create change not because a thing is wrong, but because it no longer makes an accurate statement of who you are. There is only one reason to do anything as a statement to the universe of who you are. Used in this way, life becomes self-creative. You use life to create yourself as who you are and who you always wanted to be. There is also only one reason to undo anything, because it is no longer a statement of who you want to be. It does not reflect you. It does not represent you. That is, it does not represent you. Represent you. If you wish to be accurately represented, you must work to change anything in your life which does not fit into the picture of you that you wish to project into eternity. In the largest sense, all the bad things that are happening are of your choosing. The mistake is not in choosing them, but in calling them bad. For in calling them bad, you call yourself bad, since you created them. This label you cannot accept, so rather than label yourself bad, you disown your own creation. It is this intellectual and spiritual dishonesty which lets you accept a world in which conditions are as they are. If you had to accept or even felt the deep inner sense of personal responsibility for the world, it would be a far different place. This would certainly be true if everyone felt responsible. That this is so patently obvious is what makes it so utterly painful. The world's natural calamities and disasters, its tornadoes and hurricanes, volcanoes and floods, its physical turmoils are not created by you specifically. What is created by you is the degree to which each event touches your life. Events occur in the universe with no stretch of the imagination could claim you instigated or created. These events are created by the combined consciousness of man. All of the world co-creating together produces these experiences. What each of you do individually is moved through them, deciding what, if anything, they meant to you and who and what you are in relationship to you. Thus, you create collectively and individually the life and times you are experiencing for the sole purpose of evolving. You ask if there is a less painful way to undergo this process, and the answer is yes. Yet nothing in your outward experience will have changed. The way to reduce the pain which you associate with earthly experiences and events, both yours and those of others, is to change the way you behold them. You cannot change the outer event, for that has been created by the lot of us, and you are not grown enough in your consciousness to alter individually what which has been created collectively. So you must change the inner experience. This is the road to mastery and living. Nothing is painful in and of itself. Pain is a result of wrong thought. It is an error in thinking. A master can disappear the most grievous pains, and this way the master heals. Pain results from a judgment you have made about a thing. Remove the judgment and the pain disappears. Judgment is often based upon previous experiences. Your ideas about a thing derives from a prior idea about that thing. Your prior idea results from a still prior idea, and that idea from another, and so forth, like building blocks, until you get all the way back in the hall of mirrors to what I call first thought. All thought is creative, and no thought is more powerful than original thought. That is why it is sometimes so-called original sin. Original sin is when you first thought about a thing is an error. That error is compound many times over when you have a second or third thought about a thing. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to inspire you to new understandings, which can free you from your mistakes. I'm going to cut it off there, but I want us to understand what was said here, to understand who we are, to understand how we look at things so that we can better next time deal with things. Stop calling things bad just because it doesn't serve you. Because it doesn't serve you doesn't make it bad. And if it is something that you don't like, then you represent yourself. Does it make it bad? But I just don't want that anymore. I now want this. Because we have to understand that it is all our creation. I thank you all for taking this time to have this conversation. Well, it wasn't much of a conversation. It was me. But I hope what was said was something that you can listen to and have a conversation with yourself regarding what was said. And let your soul speak to you. Let your soul tell you what it is that was being said. But it's important, as I always say, we have to remember, if you don't go within, you will go without. I turn it over to my co-producer.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, good evening. And I do thank you for tuning into the Messenger podcast, where on Thursday nights and Sunday night we make an attempt to bring you closer to the Creator itself, himself, herself, however you want to classify. We make an attempt to bring you closer to that spirit so that you understand that what you spend your whole life looking for, you already have. And it's a wonderful revelation when you come into the knowledge of I am where I'm supposed to be, and I am living the life that I should live. Again, doesn't matter that you compare your life to the next man's or the next woman's life. If your life is satisfying to you, then you are living a rich and full and successful life.
Amen.
Don't let others define success for you. Don't let others define happiness for you. If you're happy, then in that set of circumstances, that's all that matters. hey, get in touch with the spirit inside of you, because when you do, it's going to force you to make a different level type decisions. And that type decision will always be first based on love thyself, or love thy neighbor as you love thyself. This is co-producer saying good night from the Messenger on Block Talk Radio, Haja Haj Podcast Production. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night.